I remember this when I was in university. The fellowship I attended, I loved the fellowship for one simple reason. We were called Camden Charismatic, all right? But the interesting part, we were sitting in a Pentecostal fellowship, and we have friends everywhere. When I was president, people from Anglican Students Fellowship will come and preach. What deaf people will come and preach. I mean, there was nothing. Like, I remember the particular day, one particular, he's now a minister now in Port Harcourt. I went to just go and visit my friend's fellowship that day, and I heard him share word. The word was so deep and intense. I went back to my fellowship. I said, next semester, this man is coming. It was another fellowship entirely. The only people who could not relate with were deeper life people. You were the only one. I don't know how they managed. Because they're very, very strong. This is many other fellowships are that bad now anyway. It's terrible. But what I'm trying to say is that let's not look at it as a serious problem. It's not even a serious problem. It's not. You know, I believe that it makes us more effective. People tend to gather around a vision. You know that? We tend to gather around a vision most of the time. There's something we want to achieve. So that has priority amongst us. So for that reason, we become a denomination. Now, the problem with denominations is when people can't see beyond the denomination. Do you understand my point? There's nothing wrong with, okay, I remember once in my hometown, they wanted to do a crusade. All the churches gathered together to organize the crusade. And so under such circumstances, there's nothing. No, it's not the one that you hear that, this man is marrying from another fellowship. Nobody is going for the wedding because he did not marry from amongst us. Now, those are the things that are since, don't let me say unto death, but there are matters of iniquity before the Lord, all right? But the fact that we go to different places on Sundays, really, it doesn't matter. Actually, it makes it easier. You know, if you know that you are going to have problems with organizing something, just go to a place where, you know, they say cake is against the will of God. Do you get my point? You know, actually, people sometimes they say things, you don't know what their problem is, personal problem is. No, it's true. A man sits down and he has looked. See, this kind of suits with these pastors they wear. In deep in his heart, he can't afford it. You say souls are perishing. They are buying suits. The truth is that to say broad girls suit for wear. Do you follow the one I heard of me? He said, brethren they've lost it. They don't know where they're going again. And that they saw a brother. Do you know how much it cost to print 100,000 tracts? He bought a car that could have printed 1 million tracts. Iniquity. The problem is that you don't have money to buy the car. It's not as if you love the lost more than him. Do you follow what I mean? And they build it into doctrines. I was reading a book recently. They said, the man, you know, don't let me freak down. You know, we go through places. You know, there was a time they used to call amongst Christians, television was devil's box. But you know, driven by TV, TV is neutral. It's not devil's box. It's what you put inside that decides whose box it is. Do you follow my point? First time I watched Miles Monroe. In fact, you know, I've never seen Miles Monroe in reality apart from inside boxes. These days, they are not boxes anymore. They are flat. Do you follow what I mean? Also, no. So, a lot of people, there are things that, and I, sometimes, God actually, because you see, God, you're talking about each man is God's servant. Sometimes God has a demand upon a particular servant of his for certain reasons. You get the point? Yeah, sometimes. God can tell a man, you will fast 3 times a week and you must not break it till 6 p.m. And you find the man is a very powerful minister. So you say, the key to power is 3 times a week fasting. You won't know that when God called him, the man used to talk too much. And God says, so that this is our relationship, we have some peace. We have to win you up too much eating. Therefore, as my servant, I hereby command you not to eat except for once a day on 3 days of the week. And you know, you don't have a problem with it. You have never liked food all your life. They used to flog you to eat your food. You grew up, your wife is still begging you eat now. Then you now became a believer. They say you want spiritual power. It's fast 3 days of the week. Look, I'm sorry to say, when I said people say they declare 60 days fast, you know, get my point. It doesn't even, the man of God said, God said that anybody who go through this 100 days fast, his life will change. I said, my life changed before he declared the fast. So don't even worry. My life is changed. Amen. I have found out that when I imbibe the truth, it transforms me. So the hunger does not transform anybody. But the God speaks to the man, maybe God needed his attention. If you don't eat, you can't go to many places. That's true. That's what some people don't understand. So that's why you don't start copying people. I remember losing one in school. That one used to make me laugh. Kenneth Hagin wrote, of course, a lot of books. And in one of his books, we read about what he called the fasted life. That he used to fast twice a week those days. Then one day God spoke to him and said, you don't need to really fast twice a week like you do. Why don't you just live a fasted life? He said he had never heard of what they call a fasted life until then. What did the Lord mean by fasted life? He said, don't just eat as much as you normally would eat. You know, just reduce your food. You get the point. Just reduce the food you eat and all of that. Now, if you saw Ken Hagin in his days, he was not a small man. He was a large man. He was a well-fed man. He used to wear suspenders. It was not fashion. It was the circumference he had for belts. No, I'm telling you, it's a matter of fact. You know what campus? You saw some breasts. You know what I mean? Some brethren. Some brethren who to eat 1.5 times in a day is, if I don't want to itself, it's a matter of fasting and praying. They don't get up and say they want to live a fasted life. Say, you wait till like bonga fish finish, you go, don't vanish. You will just become empty. That they will look for you and you will not be found because the Lord took you. The one that is fasting that took you, not really the Lord. No, really. You know, we didn't understand the culture. If you've seen an American eat, you will know why the Lord needs to talk to you to live a fasted life. When Americans serve you food, except he has learned the discipline, you will run. That is, you will literally get up and say, please, I'm coming. Now that I traveled there, my friend took us out somewhere in New York. They don't serve the plate, they serve the food literally onto a tray. The plate is a tray by Nigerian standards. Yeah, they put the menu down, we looked, what we like to eat. We just pointed, yeah, like this. All right. When the guy arrived, Jesus Christ. I look like, what? No, I'm not joking. He said, it's combo. That is, I don't know. You know, here when you want to eat, it's rice with meat. When you go, it's meat with rice. No, he doesn't eat rice with meat. It's meat with rice. Meat is the food. The guy brought, I don't know how big, like half the chest of a goat and put on that. It's not the whole meat. Then the fattest chicken I've ever seen, like half of it put on. They just lump the whole thing. Like, you ask for combo. That is combo. What? No, I'm telling you, if they serve you ice cream, you will disappear. That is not the one that they'll give one cup, you can carry in one hand. They come and you'll be measuring height, who's taller. No, that's Americans. That's why they are large. My friend told me that when he first got to the US, the first place he worked, when he was living, he did a kind of send off for him. Then I said, what was the first thing that was the striking thing to him when he came to this country? He said, wow, the sheer size of the people. The people, no. The guy, when you see these big, big cars they drive, they need the big car to carry themselves around. The guys are massive. So God spoke to a massive man, live a fasted life. One thing, boy, in Nigeria here, saying, man, living a fasted life. God said, my boy, you were not eating before. If I'm my commandment to you, you shall eat a good life. That is, you must live an eating life. Do you know what I'm saying? No. I'm telling you. That's what he means. Each person is a servant of the Lord. You have to be very careful. Because not everybody has the discipline to understand that certain commandments of the Lord are personal. Not everybody has that discipline. There are people tell me that, you want to pray for, maybe you want to pray all night because Jesus prayed all night. Now, it's good to pray all night if you can. But praying all night has not made you spiritual. If there was nothing to pray for all night, I don't know whether you get the point. If you got up and said, want to pray, and the idea is we would pray all night, you're already mistaken. It's more of we want to pray, and when we are through with praying, we believe. And sometimes you are through with praying, you start at 10, you are through at 5 a.m. So the prayer was all night. You did not plan it all nightly ahead of time. Do you get the point? I remember there on campus, there was one prayer meeting I organized like that. We said it's all night. We said around 9. By 2 a.m., everybody suddenly felt, you could feel it, that all the prayers had been answered, they were finished, And because we were on campus, we could move around at all hours. At 2 a.m., we dismissed the meeting. Everybody went back to the hostel. You are getting the point I'm making. So that's why each person is servant unto his God. And he can give him commandments that are very, very individual. There are people that God said, don't watch TV. Because the problem was the reason. That they make it a commandment. You can't watch TV. One day I was in Winner's Chapel, in one of the towns in Nigeria. And the man was talking about, they said, you know, in this church, we don't believe in drinking coke. And I felt like, it's not correct. It's not right. It's a wrong principle. That is not because the church didn't believe it, but that I mean that the church never said it. I heard Bishop say it. That one day, he said he used to drink coke a lot. That he was a master coke drinker. Get me a bottle of coke, he used to drink coke. He said that one day he looked at the bottle. He said, why do you have so much control over me? That look, I want to live long. I have believed God for long life and good health. Why should I be poisoning myself with you every time? Therefore he said, from today, I overcome you, coke. I'm not drinking again. That was it. And after being the head of the church, he explained the principle. And I heard him the first time he said it. I heard him say it a number of times. People say, oh, man of God does not drink coke. So in our church, we don't drink coke. Then man said, my friend, get away. It has nothing to do with spirituality. The man was a crazy coke drinker. I mean, I've never drank much coke in my life. So I won't make a law against it. Tonight I want to eat as a person. When I go to places, anything, what you want to eat, what would you like to drink? I always drink water. I take drinks when I'm very hungry. You know what I mean? You come and say, yes, please, get me a bottle of usually coke. Malt, once in a while I drink malt. You know why? Because I'm hungry, I want food. And when I'm eating, malt is another food. I don't like the taste. This is just personal. This is just my person. You go and say, you see, men, teachers of the world, they don't have time for all these things they call malt. Because they have discovered that it weighs away the stomach and does not allow understanding. Hey God, it has nothing to do with understanding. To be alone. You get the point. We have to emphasize that, alright? And get this is very, very clear. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Alright. Now I'm going to rush out through the rest. Most of the things that you find afterwards, I probably will stop somewhere. It's Paul greeting people and all of that. He said, now I myself am coming in verse 14 of chapter 15, concerning you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written more boldly to you on some points, as reminding you because of the grace given to me by God, that I might be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering of the Gentiles may be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Let me just explain something here briefly that Paul said. He said, I understand that you have all knowledge. You understand all these things I've been saying. He said, but I have a grace. I have an anointing to pass truth across, which you probably don't have. He said, for that reason, in verse 15, I have written more boldly to you on some points, as reminding you because of the grace given to you. Do you get my point? He said in verse 14, I know you. I'm not saying you don't know anything. That's not what I'm writing. But I have the ability to throw the truth into your heart because God has so enabled me. That's what I meant when he said that. By the grace given to me by God. Alright? He said, therefore, in verse 17, I have reason to glory in Christ Jesus in the things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak any of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me in word and deed to make the Gentiles obedient. In mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and around about Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. So I have made. Now, there's something I want to point out here. Let's just continue reading. For it says, so I have made it my aim to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build on another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not announced, they shall see. He said, and those who have not heard shall understand. What Paul was saying is that this scripture described his own assignment in life. Please get the point. That is, you just need to understand this. Different scriptures define different people's assignments. Paul was not saying that this is how, but that again explains what I'm saying. Paul was not saying this is the only way people minister, going to places where others have not ministered. He just said simply that this is what relates to my own grace. Alright? This is what relates to my ministry. That as it is written,
where he was not announced, people need to see, and that has to do with him. That's what I was explaining. In Acts 10, verse 22, for this reason, I also have been much hindered from coming to you. But now, no longer having a place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come to you, whenever I journey to Spain, I shall come to you. Now, what Paul was explaining simply is that because of the preference that he has, because of the way his ministry is, he has found it that is Rome. You know, as at the time of this writing, he had never been to Rome. He had never been to that church. I read commentary that explained that he might have never been to Rome. He just had heard about the church. And a lot of, if you read further down, which I probably will meet, because mostly what you find afterwards is just greetings. So I will meet, but if you read through, you find that he will mention a number of people. And the idea is that there were people he knew from other places. Maybe they were somewhere else. They now moved down to Rome. So he knew some people in the church, and he had heard so much about the church, and he wanted to impart some spiritual gifts to them, like we read in Romans chapter 1. Now, he says, so for that reason, because of the principle by which he's doing his ministry, Rome was low on the list of priorities. Because as an apostle, he was always going out to places where people had not preached. But somebody else had preached in Rome, the church had been established, so he was always low on his list of priorities, even though he wanted to go there. He said, but because of this kind of ministry that I have, I didn't have space. Every time the door opens somewhere and I find out that the gospel had not been preached there, I go to that place, and Rome is always a problem for me. The reason being that it's not priority. Sometimes they said, I wanted to come and I'm hindered. Is that I don't have time, or peradventure, I don't have the money. Not because I'm broke, but because we have invested the money into something else. Are you getting the point I'm making? And so that's what we were just trying to say. I want us to understand that. Because sometimes in life, you will appear to be neglecting something that is good. Once it is not out of general attitude for neglect, but because you have placed the energy on something else that is more important to you. Let me give myself as an example. I love it very, very plenty. Many weddings I have not been able to attend. Even though I love the people dearly, but they decide they must marry on Saturday. And they are married very far away. So, for that reason, that is, even when weddings are so dear, I mean, like when I sit very close to maybe a family person, I mean, like last time was the first day we met this year, my wife's younger brother was married that same day, 3 hours away. I attended the wedding. Of course, we were there. We went for the traditional wedding the day before. We all did everything. Sunday, we went to church, did everything. As we were taking photos, I took my keys and drove straight out, 3 hours straight to get back here. You know, so sometimes people say, ah, can't you do this? Like, we'll get invitation once in a while. Saturday, most people invite me now know that you don't invite Pastor Banky on Saturday. The reason being that for me, what we turn out from here is primary, you know, it's paramount. The point I'm making is that you see that you neglect a lot of other things because something for you is what? Primary. That one is paramount. That's the most important thing. Okay? But you know, Isha man has a saying, for those of you who are from that side. He said, now when man pees for one spot, now the pees a fool. This is, you are pissing all over the place. They will feel depressed. There's something you have to be very careful. In life, you just set your priorities. And that's what, you know, my wife and I were discussing some important decisions I have to make over the next few months and maybe a year or two. And it's just simply because I've always said it, for me, teaching the gospel is primary. It's primary. And I always used to say that anything that will clash with it will probably lose out. And things are beginning to clash. You know, it's beginning to happen. Things are, if I told my colleague today, I said, as soon as I finish my lectures, I'm taking my whole year's annual leave. Because if I'm going to release 12 books by end of November, do you get what I mean? I told the printer man today, Oga, we have to do 8. I told him about 8 because he might not do all of them. More books before the end of November. I said, we have to work out a financial arrangement. How much will be paying you? I'll just be churning out the books. I said, the books, the next two, by the time he's releasing these two, as I'm after taking it off the press, I'll drop the next two. They should start formatting it. So as soon as we drop some money for them, they will start to work again. You understand the point? Now, why do we do this? Is it that you don't need money for that? We do. But, you know, it's, you get my point. That is primary. And let me tell you something. This is just general. Well, whenever we stop here, that's where I'll stop Romans chapter, the book of Romans. Okay? Most of the things that's remaining is greetings. Okay?
And I'll just probably read the last three verses and then we'll be out of here. So let me just explain something. See, you will discover that there's something that God has given you in life that is primary. You will find out. And this is just my personal advice, what I have experienced over years, and have I understood even before I began to practice it. That thing must be center in everything that you are doing. Now, it might not be big, do you get my point, initially, but it's still center. Take myself as an example. I love to teach the word of God, and most of the books that we have printed now, I wrote them years before ministry started. One of the ones coming out today, Choices, the Key to Destiny, was an exhortation I wrote in a letter to my wife. We were not married then, so she was not in Lagos, she was in Benin, 1999. Someone was going to Benin, I said, okay, give this to the young woman when you see her for me. It's coming out as a book. It's already been printed. Choices, the Key to Destiny. You follow what I mean? So that it might not be big, but it was central. When I was choosing my career as a medical practitioner, it was in my mind. When I was thinking and meditating, it was in my mind that when I was much younger, I probably wanted to be a neurosurgeon and stuff like that. No, I never wanted neurosurgery. It was cardiothoracic surgery that I liked. But as I began to grow as a believer, I said, no, I'm going to be a preacher. I'm going to be a preacher. So I said, I cannot afford to spend all the time and then years of training and then have to work at night. You know, I remember one of my friends, a colleague of mine then, he would leave the room and say, please, don't answer my phone calls for me. I said, I'm not taking your calls. He said, but you're in the room. I said, I chose to be in the room. It's not like I'm jobless. We have the same first degree. I said, I chose to be. Don't make it look like I don't have what I'm doing. It's a choice I made. So I'm not going to do my work and do yours. He said, please, now I want to just rush to church. I'm on duty. I said, no problem. You know the words, you're on duty, don't you? He said, yes. I said, when you come back, call all of them and say, were you looking for me? I said, after all, if I answer the call, all I can tell them is you're not around. He said, okay, at least when he comes back, he will know that he was called. I said, no problem. Should be there only four or five words. No, be so. You have their numbers. As soon as you are right back in the room, carry your phone and begin to dial up. And then, were you looking for me? Were you looking for me? He couldn't understand. But at one point I met to him, I said, listen, my friend, you're living a life out of the choice you made. I said, you might see me sitting there in the room when you are busy and running up and down. I said, I made up my mind. I did not want to be busy and run up and down. Get the point clear. I made up my mind. I didn't want to be busy. I run up and down. You know, my wife does business, you know, and stuff. Once in a while, I tell her, drop some points with some of these people that you do business with in banks. Let them not look at you like you're jobless. Tell them that I was working in this bank before you graduated from school. I had the child and the family to run. That's why I walked out. For your information, I have an MBA. So don't think that I'm doing this business because I can't find a job better than this. Don't think so. No, I tell her once in a while. And some respect for yourself. One small girl, one doctor said, where were you so and so here? You were doing your service. That was there. Here I resigned from UBA. You get the point I'm making. I said, no. Once there was that kind of thing. In fact, that was one mistake I made when I was printing your card for you. I put MBA in front of it so that when you give somebody a card, he will know that you are doing what you're doing out of it. You know, I like to do it this way. You follow the point I'm making. Now, so I told my friend, look, this is a choice I made. And why did I make the choice? I told myself, I'm going to be a preacher. I have to sleep at night. I'm a pathologist. Nobody wakes me up at night. If I was a surgeon, they wake me up at night. If I'm preaching and I'm on call, I won't feel comfortable. I said, I know my mind is light. I will always feel comfortable when I'm preaching. At least for as long as I run the two of them side by side, it was a deliberate choice I made from the beginning. And that's exactly what Paul was saying. So I'm admonishing everybody. If you discover that, you put it in the center. Now, it might not be big. That's what I was making. It might not be big. All right? But it's in the center. That is, it directs every other thing. If Ed Michelle tells me, when one of us came to Enugu, people told me, oh, please, you know, you can go and do this course. I wasn't doing ministry really yet. But 3 months out of town, I felt this is going to spoil the starting of the ministry. And I wasn't doing it, you know, but I just said, no. He said, there's this course somewhere you can get. I said, no, 3 months, no, it's too long. One of my friends, they traveled, they went for fellowship, maybe go for a year. A whole year out of the country. Oh, but you try. Who will preach? Now you hear that I'm not around. You know, for me, it's just central. It directs every other thing. He directs every other thing. Once we were sharing with our ministers at forum in my alumni fellowship, and there were some things I explained. I won't bother you details now, I explained some of the shortcomings I personally have in my academic career because of ministry. And the guy pointed out some that if I didn't explain that, people would have thought I was a superman combining ministry and the academic job I still do till now. I said, but that one is not that easy. It has bled me on some issues, believe me. I just don't have time to explain, or am I willing to explain now? So when I explained that minister's meeting, someone just said, how do you manage to combine? I said, as a combination, look, number one person is easy for the other. First, ministry was small. All we did initially was just print tracks. So it was not a big deal, you know? And then, so this one took all the time. But I said, but as time has been going, things have been changing little by little, and somebody's continually losing. I said, because of that, I've been losing in a crucial area. Essentially, when it had to do with promotion and increase, academically speaking. You know, there was a time I prayed one prayer to God, and God is essentially delivering the thing to me on the platter of gold, not because I labored the way people normally would. I said, the reason because I cannot, let me give an example. You can't write 12 books and publish in a year, all right? And still have 12 academic publications. What are you? Are you a spirit? No. You follow what I'm trying to say? Uh-huh. You know, so, but what God uses for me is simple. I work with a colleague of mine. I do the honesty work. He does all the writing. So I supply information. I supply this. We cooperate. You know, it comes about the same thing at the end of the day. So what I'm not trying to say is that, so we have to just learn that. So that when you are making decisions, making judgments in life, you just hear something. This one is in front for me, all right? And because that one is in front, every other thing falls behind. And eventually, now, that's another thing I want to say. I said initially it might be small, then after a while it will grow. But if you're talking about reward per se, it tends to come very late. It comes very slowly. I don't know whether you get my point. Yes, you know, you're a TD Jakes, you are pastor for almost 20 years before anybody hears that you are there. Alright? Don't let anybody come and teach you the gimmicks of effective ministry. Not that the gimmick of the real principle of effective ministry or growth in ministry. Be persistent in doing this ministry. That is the real key. Do you get my point? You know, I look back to those days and it still makes me laugh. I used to drive this my 3-hour journeys to come back, and I'm not praying. I am sure there will be only 3 people who will come and listen to Pastor Brandon all the evening in this same place. I am absolutely certain. Not what I mean by it. Not as if I wanted to be 3. But last week they were 3. You count totally, maybe up to 6. But 3 came, that is me, 1, my wife, 1, maybe my brother Deji. You know, that's 3 people. So if you remove those 3 people that have no choice but to come anyway, 1 because you are the preacher, 2 because you are his wife, 3 because you are his brother, and you live in his house, and you are the one in charge of all the Deji was in charge of all the equipment, carrying the battery, all this wire, the run all of them. So you just have to be there. So if you remove all those people, the only 3 who really came and said, let's go and listen to the teaching of the word. Yet I will drive the 3 hours to get back here. You get my point? I don't need any gimmicks on exposure to grow in ministry. Because it's not show. It is effect. Do you get my point? Yes. So as long as you are pouring out the spirit into the lives of people, then it will grow in its time. You understand the principle? That's the way it works. That's the way it works. Alright, that's what Paul was just teaching there. So he said that was the reason why it was so difficult for him to get down to Rome. Because he had laid something in front as being most important. That's preaching in places where people had not preached before then. Alright, let's just read from, I want to close chapter 16. Most of the other thing is their greetings, okay? Let's just jump down to chapter 16 from verse 17. He said, now I urge you, brethren, know those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learn, and avoid them. He said, for those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. For obedience has become known to all, therefore I am glad on your behalf. And I want to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. If you do this, the God of peace, verse 20, and the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. That is, you don't have to be smart when it comes to working with and crushing Satan. What you need to do is just be obedient concerning the doctrine of God and be simple in the other issues of life. You will discover that God will crush Satan under your feet. Let me just jump down to verse 25. They said, now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel I mean, you have to know that thing there. Paul said, according to my gospel. Oh God, there's something to say about that. You have to be proud of what you are saying. I'm telling you. And when I preach on radio sometimes, you know, let me tell you something briefly. There's some meekness that are not of God, some humility that you must not practice. When they will ask Jesus Christ, he will say, I am the light of the world. It's not pride, it was true. I am the bread from heaven. It's not pride. It's a matter of fact. Paul will say, this gospel is my gospel. There is something, that's the one I'm talking on radio. I don't try to be nice and humble. I say boldly, if you listen to me, I am telling you, that you hear me, that's how I talk. I say, if you believe these things that I, Banky, am saying, I make bold to tell you, you will never fail in life. I say boldly, there's nothing like, well, I should not be humble. I'm telling you, if I was lying, it's a different matter. You know? Humility is to know your proper place in life and just behave like you are there. Do you get what I'm trying to say? That's just it. I say very boldly. I say, look, I am a man of God. I'm giving you the truth of heaven. You know, there's not like, we never can be too sure, but let's just try our best. No. Tell you that. I say to you boldly, I am a man of God. I am giving you the truth of heaven. And if you believe what I'm saying, I make bold to promise you, you will never fail. Paul will say it. Say, according to my gospel. I'm telling you. You see, God always has a personal representation on the earth. Somebody that bears his name. He said, according to my gospel, the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began. We'll talk about that revelation when we get to the book of Ephesians. He said, but now made manifest, and by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations, according to the commandment of the everlasting God for obedience to the faith, to God alone wise be glory, through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. All right, the Lord is good. So let's leave it there. Next time we'll continue for the book of 1 Corinthians. And we'll start from chapter 1. Let's just give God thanks for the power of his word again. Amen. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good.
We believe that you have been blessed by this message. For more information and for free access to more of Pastor Banky's audio messages, books and other materials, please visit us on the web at pastorbanky.com or kingdomword-ng.org.